Sometimes going to church is a fun thing and a wonderful thing, and you just feel full of Jesus when you walk in the door. And sometimes when you're going to church, you feel like the devil's been on your back since you woke up out of the bed. You got your clothes on and every attempt. Anybody ever come to church like that on Sunday? Just everything fighting against you to try to keep you from experiencing the Lord. And sometimes when we're worshiping, Brother David, some of the praise team can experience, sometimes we feel the presence of the Lord so sensitive. And then sometimes we feel like the enemy's just trying to pull against us. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We've done some beautiful things today, and we've dedicated babies. I've got a message that's really specifically toward parents and graduates. And most of you are either have been or going to be, or are grandparents now, or most of you are graduating from something right now. You may not be graduating from high school, but you're graduating into Social Security, some of you. Some of you graduating into running out of retirement, don't know what you're going to do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of us graduating into insurance. Let's just say, leave it at that. I was getting ready to call it something, but you know what I'm talking about. Something, we're always in transition. We're always facing challenges. We're always facing difficulties. And it's fun to look at the future and have great excitement and anticipation. But it's also something that can strike fear in. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Something that can make you feel uncertain at times. Something that can make you feel overwhelmed at times. Sometimes it seems like, you know, it'd be better just, anybody ever just want to stay put and just enjoy the good life? Come on, go with me today. Anybody here today? Praise God. Amen. But we want to talk about this morning just for a few minutes about walking into our future. Because we all have a future to walk into. And of course, we just, on Wednesday, we celebrate some graduates. We had, I think it was 4 graduates, right? Was it 4? My wife, is she around here? She's doing something, I'm sure, but 4 graduates. 5 graduates, amen. There was 3 high school and 2 college. I remember that. And we did some wonderful things. We ate a good meal and enjoyed some good time together. We talked about their future. Some are going on to college. Some are going into a job. All are making transitions. Parents today, you've dedicated your children. You're like celebrating this new life. But what does that mean? What does that look like? What's it going to look like a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? What is your future all about? There was an officer in the Navy who had dreamed of becoming a commander of a battleship. And he had finally achieved his dream, and he was commissioned the newest and most high-end technology battleship of the fleet. And he was out sailing one night. He was out, not sailing, but he was on the seas, rough seas one night. It's close to the coast, and all of a sudden he sees a light coming toward him, and he begins to respond to this light, or makes a call out to this light, explaining the situation. He said he was the captain and the duty on the bridge, and that you were off the port on my vessel. I'm telling you right now to alter your course 10 degrees to the unidentified craft. At this point, he hears a reply. The reply came back, alter your course 10 degrees north. Determined that this ship would take a back seat to no other, the captain snapped out to an order to be sent. Alter your course 10 degrees to the south. I am a captain of a battleship. About several seconds later, the same call came back from the other end. Alter your course 10 degrees to the north. At this point, he said, I am a seaman, a third class Jones. This infuriated the captain. He says, sir, you do not understand. I am a battleship and I am a captain. And I'm telling you right now, you must alter your course. And the seaman replied back, sir, you don't understand. I'm a lighthouse. You better alter your course. Sometimes we got a plan. Sometimes we got some things figured out. Some things we think we know it all. James writes a letter to the church, and he's trying to explain some just practical things we need to understand. I think James is one of the most practical books that you can read about how to live out your faith. He's the one that talks about walking out faith, not just talking out faith. And in James chapter 4, he gives instructions about the future. And he says in verses 13 through 15, come now you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. He goes on to say, for what is your life? Your life is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. So James gives us instruction about how to plan for the future. He gives us some indicators about what the future holds for us. First thing I want you to understand, graduates, parents, and people, is that the future is uncertain. There's no certainty, and there's nothing you can just bank on in the future. You may make plans. You may decide, I'm going to raise my child, and we're going to do this, and we're going to take steps, and this is what's going to happen. But I've got news for you. Kids are pliable, but they are so unpredictable. You don't know. They're different personalities. They come from different perspectives. I've raised 4 children, and each one of them are uniquely gifted, and each one of them are very uniquely made up, and their personalities are different. How they act and react are differently. And if I treat them exactly the same, according to what I understand, I will make mistakes in life. Graduates, if you think you'll have a plan that's foolproof, you've already made a mistake, because there's no plan that's foolproof. Life is unpredictable. Something you can't determine. Some things you can't understand. Things will change. Your life will change. Things will happen to you you did not see coming. There are no guarantees. God did not give any of us a guarantee about life. He guaranteed us one thing, that no matter where we walk, we do not walk alone if we walk with Jesus. And that's one thing I'll tell you. Life is uncertain, but God is certain today. He is as true as the air that you breathe. He is true as anything that's ever been in your life. So understand this. Life is uncertain, but He is someone you can depend upon. He is one that will be there when the variables in your life change. See, you don't have all the things in your hand right now that you will have at some point. You don't have all the information. Your vision is narrow. Your perspective is a little bit different. When I was, you know, I was a part of 8 kids in a family, and I was right smack dab in the middle. So there were certain things that I experienced that my other brothers and sisters did not experience. We were made up differently. One of the challenges my father had with me was I was different than other kids that he had raised. Of the boys, I was two of the 5 that couldn't do anything with our hands. And so my dad didn't always understand what to do with me. And it was a challenge for him. And we had to figure it out. But we did. But life is a work in progress. Life is continuing. When the perspective changes, when the variables change, when things change around you, when the uncertainty is there, you have a secure foundation. And it is the Lord. Listen to what the scripture says. I believe it is in Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. This is Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived according to the scripture other than Jesus. And he said, there's seasons. You're going to go through seasons in your life. There are going to be times when you're on the mountain. There are going to be times when you're in the valley. There are going to be times when people wear you out. There are going to be times when people bless you. There are going to be times when you feel like you've got more friends than you need. There are going to be times when it doesn't seem like you have a friend anywhere. There are seasons for everything. My question to you, is you willing to lean upon the certain hand of the Lord in the uncertain times of life? Because that's the key to success in life. That's the key to overcoming the obstacles in life. You're going to get hit by curveballs. There are going to be some things that take your feet right out from underneath of you. And it's standing upon the solid ground of Christ Jesus that will sustain you through it. I believe that. You say, well, how do you know that, Pastor? 51 years. He's the only thing that has been true in my life throughout. Even when I wasn't true, He was true. Even when I wasn't faithful, He was faithful. Another thing you got to understand this morning is not only is life unpredictable, life is terminal. How many know that everybody's got a terminal disease in this house right now? It's called living. It's called life. When you were born, you had a date with death. And there's nothing you can do to change that. Now, you might be able to change the timing of your death, but be true and be understandable today. All of us have an appointment with death. Okay? So your time is limited upon this earth. So make sure that you're investing in stuff that's valuable. Make sure that you're doing things that are going to make the best use of your time. We in the world of Christianity at times, and in the general public of humanity, we sometimes invest in things that make no difference. We sometimes pour ourselves into things that will not make any difference in our lives and the people that we love. Live your life with the end in mind. Now, I'm not telling you to go around thinking about death. That would be morbid. Okay? Don't go around saying, I'm going to die one day. April, I'm going to die one day. And all you do is think about death. That would keep you from living, wouldn't it? But live in such a way, as one old man said, I want to live so I can preach my own funeral through my life. What would they say about you if you no longer were here? That's my question. You say, well, I don't care what people would say. Well, I want them to say some nice things about me when I'm not here anymore. I'd like to know that I made a difference. I'd like to know that I was someone. I'd like to think that my kids would. I don't want them to, you know, to completely just give up on life and cry and just mourn the rest of life. But they better cry when I die. That's all I'm saying. I want a few tears shed now. I believe I deserve that, don't you? But live with the end in mind. Live, make an investment that will live beyond your life. Of course, the first investment you can make is give your heart to the Lord, because that will live beyond this life. The greatest gift you can give your child is live a life for Christ. And you know, I'm asking parents, you don't have to say, do you want your kids to live eternally for the Lord? Do you? Do you want them to live eternally for God? Then you live for God. You do the things before the Lord. There was a story told about a gentleman. He was trying to encourage his son. Son, I want you to walk this path. I want you to do this. And his little boy said, but daddy. And son, you've got to do this. You've got to do this. But daddy. Son, if you do this, you'll get right. He says, but daddy, I just want to follow you. Wherever you go, daddy, is where I want to go. Little girls, they just want to follow their mamas. I got questions for you. Are you willing to take your child where you go? Are you willing to endure some things so the child can benefit? Because that's living beyond your life. And that's extending your days. Live with the end in mind. Live with the understanding that your days are short, but they could be so great and so beautiful as you make the right investment. The time you lose today, you will never get back. So if you're wasting time in worry, if you're wasting time in fright, if you're wasting time with bitterness and unforgiveness, can I tell you, those are days you will never get back. You can't put it in a bottle and you can't save it. So whatever time you have today, make sure you give the best of yourself to that time so that God can redeem the time that is in your life. We waste ourselves so much. Wasting everything about ourselves, pouring ourselves into things that won't last beyond this day, building bigger houses, doing things that really don't make a difference. Trust in the Lord. Don't waste yourself. Invest in those things that matter, those kids in your life, that wife that you love, that parent that you love, that person alongside of you at the workplace that maybe is going through a rough time. Spend time with them and invest in them. And I can promise you this, whatever you give, you'll get back tenfold. Why? Because it's the greatest gift we can give is of ourselves. Hebrews 9 and 27 says, and it's appointed to men once to die and after that judgment. So you have a limited amount of time. Life is uncertain and life is terminal. And if that was the end of the sermon, we'd all leave here very depressed, wouldn't we? But here's the two things that make all of it worthwhile. Life is valuable. You only have one life. Anybody remember that old soap opera, One Life to Live? You don't have to raise your hand and admit that you watched that soap opera. I never watched that soap opera. I was a young and a restless guy myself. But that soap opera was built on One Life to Live, and all they did was go from one illicit affair, one illicit life. Everybody's always in turmoil. That's what soap operas are, aren't they? One bad day after the next, on top of the mountain in the valley. And people would just waste their lives away in these soap operas. And what has become astonishing to me is that life has begun to imitate art instead of art imitating life. And lives are up and down and all over the place. And people waste their lives. They say, I'm having a good time. You know, we've often spoke of that. What is it, YOLO? What is it, you only live once? Is that what it's called? Yeah, y'all laughing. That may be wrong. I don't know. I call it stupido myself. But that's... You only live once. So why waste it? The valuable gift that you've been given. We live in a country that every day... Young ladies walk into a building and terminate a life because it's inconvenient, because it doesn't fit into their schedule. Not only do they ruin that child, they terminate something so precious. They put a scar upon their life that will always be there because they devalue human life. We live in a society that degrades people, that puts them in difficult situations, that tells them that they're valuable, then demeans them through art and music. It devalues who we are. You are created in the image of God with purpose and destiny, with a plan that was put into the foundations of the earth before you were yet named, before your parents arrived upon this planet. God knew who you were. He knew what He had planned for you. He said, what a beautiful artwork I have given, but the enemy wants to destroy the artwork of the Father, and he's trying his best, and it scares me how successful he is in the church. Eliminating the value. You are valuable. You have purpose. You only have one life. It's a gift that needs to be shared. How do I make the best of my life? Give your life to the service of others. Give your life to help out others. Whatever you give, God will return back to you tenfold. A life that is blessed. Let Him work in you the full measure that He wants to. Psalms 139 and 14 says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. In this very scripture, go back and read that. He talks about, where can I go to be separated from God? I can't make my bed in hell. I can go to the heavens. Wherever I go, God is there. Why? Because He wants to let you see the value that you have. Finally, life belongs to God. Stand with me. Praise team, get ready to sing. We're going to spend a few moments in prayer. That's one of the reasons I stopped, because I want to pray over some people. Just trying to be sensitive. I feel like, Don't stay back on the PowerPoint just real quick. We'll get to the song in a minute. How can I take and be successful when I don't know what's going to happen to me? How can I be successful when I only have but so much time? Pastor, you're telling me that I have value, but I feel worthless. How, Pastor, how? Because you are not your own. You're not your own. In order for your life to become all that it's supposed to be, you got to give it to the Lord. You got to give it away. That's what this song says. That's when I was standing up there when we were singing. I said, you got to sing it at the end, because ultimately, if you want success, you got to give yourself away. You got to depend on God for the wisdom to raise that child, to know what to do when you graduate from school, to know how to make a transition in life, to know who you're supposed to be with. You got to have wisdom from God. You got to be able to trust in His timing. We get in a hurry. We want to do what we want to do when we want to do it. And we get so in a hurry that we miss opportunities for God to do a work in us. On Sunday mornings, 12 o'clock comes, we're shutting down and we're out of here. We're all built on time. Pastor, I love you to preach, but if you preach past 12:10, you're losing me. God's got something he wants to do, and you need to sit still and listen sometimes. I'm not talking about me preaching either. I'm talking about listening to him. When's the last time you sat down and just said, Lord, I'm not moving from here until you talk to me. Lord, I'm not going anywhere until I hear your voice. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to make a decision until I know and I feel that affirmation of the Holy Spirit that you're the one that's directing my paths. And when you feel like you've done all that you know to do, you got to rely upon his strength. That's what a life devoted to God looks like. And here's the final point. Let God define who you are. Don't let this society define you. Some of you ladies, you look in a mirror and you define yourself by what some commercial or somebody in school, some man who used and abused you and they told you you were worthless and you believed what he said. And ever since then, you've been living out that definition in your life. Some of you men, you were told that you were no count, no good, would never mean to nothing. Maybe you were told that you were a mistake. I don't know, but you let society, you let flawed people define who you are. And I'm here to tell you this morning, don't let people who are flawed define you. Begin to look at the definition that God has for you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a royal priesthood. You are the called and the elect of God. You are the light of his eye. You are the apple of his eye. You are what he dreams about. God dances over you. Don't you know that? He dances over you. He celebrates you. Don't you give in to the garbage that the world sells you. You have value. You have worth. And you have potential. But it's only when you let the presence of God give you the wisdom for life. Trusting in his timing. Relying upon his strength. I'm going to ask those that are graduating, have graduated.